God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliot shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, reminding you that if God loves you with an everlasting love and holds you in His everlasting arms, that He does want to guide you. And we don't always want to be guided, do we? We want to make up our own minds about things. We've got plans, we've got ambitions, we've got goals, and we don't want anybody interfering with those plans and ambitions and goals. But the true child of God, the one who is a sheep and really wants to follow the shepherd, will say, "Lead us not into temptation. Lead us, guide us." Now, many people have puzzled over that expression, "Lead us not into temptation." Why would God lead us into temptation? Is it possible that God would lead us into temptation? Well, I'm indebted to C.S. Lewis for part of my answer to that question. And Lewis pointed out that God knows what would be for us a sorrow or a snare. And so instead of leading us into that temptation, which would prove only to be a sorrow or a snare, He leads us away from it. So when I pray, "Lead me not into temptation," I have to be prepared to take no for an answer to something which I don't think would lead to sorrow and snares, but which God knows would. Think of a sheep racing along through a meadow who doesn't know that there's a precipice. The wise shepherd sends the sheepdog to head off those sheep so that they won't go over the precipice. They don't appreciate what the sheepdog does. They don't want to be herded and moved around the field. But the shepherd is not going to lead them into a disaster. God's answer to our prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," means no to a lot of other prayers. Think about that. If God is going to answer my prayer, "Lead me not into temptation," then God is going to have to say no to a lot of other prayers. Let me illustrate. My daughter and her husband were terribly disappointed when a house that they were wanting to buy fell through. But they got a house that was better than that one, which they wouldn't have seen if the first house hadn't fallen through. Maybe that's your case with the husband that God has given you. Think about the guys you went with or the guys you dated. Think about the one, perhaps when you were in high school, that you just thought was such a hunk and just such a perfect guy, and you wished with all your heart that that guy would ask you out. And you can look back and see that God did not lead you into temptation. He steered you clear of that marriage, which would have been a disaster, and gave you this one. How about your job? Some of you have a job which you wouldn't have had if you'd got the job that you wanted. And yet, in the providence and the mercy of God, this one has proved to be far better than the one you thought you wanted. So disappointment in getting the house or the husband or the job that you wanted opened the way for the right house or the right husband or the right job. I think of my mother's telling me years ago of what she looked upon as a very strange providence. She had one little boy. She got pregnant the second time, and to her great sorrow, she lost that baby. It was a sorrow to her, but she said, "You know, I've often thought about the fact that if I had had that baby, I wouldn't have had you. Now, God wanted that tiny person who was miscarried, and make no mistake about it, it was a person. He wanted that little person in heaven just then, for his own high and holy purposes. And the only comfort that I can find in the whole thing about abortion is the fact that that tiny little person is in heaven. I really believe that. So God wanted that little person in heaven for his own high and holy purposes, and he wanted my mother to be available to be the vessel for another life, for my life, which would not have been possible if she had had that other baby. He had other high and holy purposes for me than those which he had for that second child. Many of our prayers would destroy us if God granted them. We're asking for stones and for scorpions when we think what we're asking for is bread and fish. And Jesus said, "Would your heavenly Father give you a stone?" And yet he knows sometimes that what we're asking for is really a stone. And his answer is no. And we go on in that prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And that's a stumbling block too, unless we understand it. God does not deliver us from pain and trial. Pain and trial are meant to test and to brace us. As an ancient theologian said, it is faith which says this prayer, and faith recognizes only those supernatural evils which wound the holiness of God and tarnish the purity of the soul. And we can be absolutely sure that if we pray that God will deliver us from that kind of evil, that he most certainly will. He will deliver us from the evils which wound the holiness of God and tarnish the purity of the soul. But we cannot expect that deliverance from evil means deliverance from pain and trials. And here I'd like to make a distinction between hurt and harm. A wise and skillful surgeon is certainly going to hurt you, but he is not going to harm you. A surgeon may make a mistake and harm you, but our God is a much wiser and more perfectly skilled surgeon. And he may allow us to be hurt. He does allow us to be hurt. There's no question about that. But he's not going to allow us to be harmed in such a way as to destroy our eternal souls. Not from the pain and trial which test and brace us will he deliver us, but from all that can damage our relationship to him. Now, some of the worst evils, apparently, are ultimately revealed to be the very vehicles of blessing. I want to recommend a book by Kathy Bartalski, Bartalsky, called Soaring on Broken Wings. I met Kathy Bartalski. She has an incredible story to tell. She asked me to write an introduction to her book. And so rather than give away her story, I want to read you just a little bit of that introduction. When a young woman determines in her heart to learn what faith in God means and asks him to teach her, what happens? God hears the prayer and begins to answer it. Not in a lecture hall, but right where that woman lives. She begins day by day to believe that the God of the universe is also the God of the fallen sparrow. He made sparrows. He loves sparrows. He also made and loves her, and she has his word for it that she is of more value than many sparrows. He will prove it to her, as he proved it to the world long ago, through the mystery of suffering. Kathy Bartalski was a woman consumed with hunger to know God. Parachute jumping taught her a few principles of trust. Committing to God her very deep and womanly desire for a husband taught her more. Well, she tells the story straight. She wanted gold. She knew, academically, that there would have to be fire. She said to herself, "Why do I get the feeling that this isn't going to be easy?" And God reminded her of his faithfulness to his promise, "You will come forth as gold. It's what you asked for, isn't it?" Kathy bore the fires, as thousands in Christian history have borne them, by faith, by grace, by the blood of the Lamb. She was committed to Christ. Her surrender was never negotiable. It was his pathway she had chosen, a pathway that always leads to a cross. She accepted that cross, believing that that death leads always to the glory of resurrection. It was hard for her to trust that because of his love for her, he allowed such pain into her life to shape her heart. Yet she trusted, looking far past the seemingly unbearable temporal things to the eternal perspective. Hers is the victory that overcomes the world. That miracle of grace that learns that suffering is something granted, a blessing, or, as she says, more appropriately, an honor. Not meant for herself alone, but in identification with Christ and his cross, for the sake of the world. We accept as common knowledge that God can save a sinner, yet we do not wholeheartedly believe that God can and will sustain a believer. That's what Kathy said. And my introduction to her book, Soaring on Broken Wings, closes with these words: "Here is evidence beyond argument of that mighty sustenance. Deliver us from evil. God may allow us to be hurt, but he will not allow us to be harmed if we pray that prayer."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.